Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Push ahead to Hayward. He's going to the rack, challenging John Wall. Double clutches and dunks! Oh, Gordon, don't do me like that!
You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 19th of May. Dennis Lindsay holds court, then tours the basketball campus. The season in review for Gordon Hayward, and I sit down with Bowler and Spence for a good conversation about the Jazz. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Happy Friday to you. I hope you're doing great. Thanks very much for tuning in to Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz. I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. Locked On NBA has the scout today. He was really, really good. So hopefully you grab that and enjoy it. He's done some nice jobs, did a nice job. Locked On Celtics had Mike Fratello on. He's always a good listen if you're a basketball fan and want to grab that one for you. I think I laid out pretty clearly what we're doing on today's show. Yesterday was, today's show, by the way, is brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai, 4646 South State Street. It's mayhem. That's right, mayhem. That means that in this 25% off deal at Murdoch Hyundai right now. All right, yesterday was interesting. Dennis Lindsay led a bunch of reporters together and oscillated off both on and off the record, but predominantly on the record for 95% of the conversation. It's just about where the Jazz are. I wouldn't say there was a ton of news breaking stuff, but I just kind of wanted to run through some of the things he talked to us about. And share that with you today, and then we'll do Gordon Hayward player of review, and we'll deal with the news of Gordon Hayward not making all NBA, and that's impact. I jumped on with Jake and Tony yesterday and talked a little bit, and then they doubted that Boston could do some of the things I've said. I'll walk through why they can. And then I sat down with Spence and Bowler for a really good conversation this week. I'm going to throw on the backside. So that's the plan on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. By the way, if you would like to advertise on Locked On Jazz, reach a male audience that is 97% male, ranges between 18 to 44, 25 to 54, whichever demo. Or if you want 18 to 54, you really hit it out of the park. We're about 84% there. Otherwise, about in the 75 percentile in those other two ranges. And podcast listeners are loyal to advertisers and have shown that they have a greater response to advertisers on podcasts than in other forms. So if you'd like to advertise on Locked On Jazz, email me at dlock09@gmail.com. All right, so Dennis Lindsay, he just talked about various things in regards, you know, what do we need to do better? It's just their off-season look from every aspect of everything. I mean, he talked about the music for players, the structure of the team on the court, the environment that they live in the basketball campus is going to be really remarkable. It's going to be the largest practice facility with the largest strength and conditioning area for them. You know, he's a big believer in that the players talk with their feet, create a place they want to be. They're even going to have a sleep area for players so that if they have young ones at home or they need to get their sleep, they can do it there. They're really building with incredible level of detail, how the flow of the building works, how it works better for the strength and conditioning staff and the training staff. So really just remarkable level of detail. But he talked about just, you know, everything that they have worked on to try to improve the player experience, from the music that exists when the players warm up, the music that they get when they come in, the food in the freshness of the food that they get. And so that level of detail, I thought then what was really interesting is kind of when he talked about how they evaluate where they are as a franchise. And he actually talked about that, you know, the wins and losses metric is not the top of the list of what they look at. It's much more point differential, Jeff Sagarin ratings, offensive and defensive efficiency, and some of those areas, which I thought was an interesting, you know, way to look at it. So if you're wondering what that is, and where, you know, so where do they believe this roster was last year as a team, and where, and how do they move forward? They believe that they were, you know, the 12th best offense, third best defense, and fifth best team in the NBA. That they were, and then you calc in whether they think when healthy what they were able to do. So they, you know, they, and that's actually kind of matches pretty closely to where, you know, that has Golden State, San Antonio, Houston, Toronto was fourth, and Utah was fifth. That matches pretty closely to where they finished. Frankly, they probably were the fifth best team in the league. Jeff Sagarin, who we've, I think, all talked about with college football, also has some NBA rankings, and so they like to look at those. They think they have great value. In those cases, Golden State, San Antonio, Rockets, Clippers, Cavaliers, Jazz were sixth in that rating system. That includes playoff basketball, by the way. Sagarin has continued his through the playoffs, and so it has the Jazz as the sixth best team overall on the season. I think we, and I think some weird way we end up playing the second hardest schedule. But, you know, like over top 10 teams, we were 14-23. Which is kind of a worthwhile metric that that he's talked about in the past. He once again referenced their ability to win on the road because of their analytical approach to defense of not fouling. When asked specifically on how to improve player retention, player development, and player addition that complements the current group, much of the theme was holding the group together. Did say that hopefully we'll be able to use our room before July 1st. Talked a lot about Rodney Hood in regards to having a similar knee injury to what Rudy Gobert had, and that Rudy Gobert's jump this year that we're talking about might not have been as large as we think it was, in the sense that what we were, our recency bias to Rudy was coming off that knee injury. And so the player we were remembering was one who was healthy enough to play but not healthy enough to perform at his peak. And then when he gets healthy, he makes this big jump. And the thought maybe that Rodney would be hopefully in a similar circumstance, coming off the knee injury, gets himself healthy, and then his performance is optimized post-injury. Dante Exum, he talked about regaining the speed and lift. And now he has to develop the skills that match his size and speed. And I asked what those skills were: long layup game, floater game, hard pull-up game. We talked about it yesterday on the program, what his numbers were off the bounce. Create shots for others, finishing on non-dunk finishes. He's got to catch up for last time. They've scheduled out his life minute to minute, and the question is whether Dante's going to have the urgency to match the Dennis and Quinn urgency for him. He envisions him playing both guard spots. The team was better when he played wing than point guard this year. Go and catch on the second side improved, he said, and at times he was the most athletic player on the floor. What was hard for him, he talked about how the nature of the team changed when he was out. They will continue to use cap space fundamentally. He had an interesting analysis that when when those teams that really, you know, paid a price to earn their cap space have seemed to be more diligent in using it than those that were just given it because of the TV spike. Talked a lot about the Millers' commitment to keep the team together. He wouldn't specifically talk about luxury tax and things of that nature because he thought it gave a competitive advantage to his opponent, but it sure sounded to me like if they, whatever they need to do to hold this team together, believing how good they will. He also talked about, which I thought was interesting, that they use a lot of consultants, and the Millers have been incredible about funding that. I'm not entirely sure what it means, but that was an interesting comment. A lot of medical team talk, return to play protocol, what it means, what the process is. A lot of talk about chemistry and resiliency being built up on the team. George Hill, he continually referred to as a good fit and took a just needs to rest and recover. Favors, he said, the interesting thing for him on Derek is the healthiest point of him was the last day of the season, whereas last year he was probably at his worst part at the end of the season. So he went through an elongated rehab last year. This year he's going to be able to be healthy going into the offseason and hopefully can recapture his past efficiency. He quoted the numbers on how good the Jazz are when Rudy and Derek are together. Talked about prehab instead of rehab standpoint from Derek having to do a lot of work and how great he is laterally defense. Talked about the medical staff and he talked about the some of the difficulties they had. It was interesting. He said that blame goes to me. Like any piece of the operation, there's a review. We have the support of the budgets to make improvements, come up with good options and solutions. But availability for our players is key. Very positive about the draft that Walt Perrin had originally targeted this selection, this draft. A very polished group. Was interesting. Kyle, is that do I have it right? I'm doing this off top. Who the Salt Lake Tribune? Kyle Goon. That's right. New Salt Lake Tribune Jazz writer. Did a thing about the questionnaire that the Jazz have and how one of the players talked about how long it was. And Dennis kind of openly said, yeah, some parts of that questionnaire are hard. Like, the fact is that we'd like to be interested to know whether you're willing to go through a long questionnaire. It might tell us a little bit of whether you'll go through a back-to-back or what you'll do when things are tough. So I thought that was interesting. Talked a lot about the art of team building and turning Salt Lake into an advantage. Talked a lot about their ability to make players improve in their 30s. Should make, the way that Hayward improved, the way that Ingles improved, the way that Hill improved are all kind of don't match the traditional career flow of guys. And the fact that the Jazz are able to do this should make them more appealing for teams to go to. We talked a lot about Joe Ingles as a great connector, and then maintain the study of large numbers. So interesting, I thought, conversation there from Dennis. I don't know, if that's a lot of news breaking stuff, but it gave you a pretty clear view of what he believes and what he thinks. Today's show is brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai. They're doing mayhem, which I've made clear if you've heard the ads. And it's kind of crazy. What they're doing is 25% off cars. The 2017 Sonata, the 2017 Santa Fe Sport. I hope Mike Sorensen doesn't mind. Deseret News writer and I walked into this event and I drove in the Hyundai. And he goes, I just heard that ad. You actually are driving the Hyundai. I was like, yeah, I love it. And he goes, gosh, I was thinking about going down there. Should I? I was like, absolutely. And that's what I would tell all of you. Like, I'm driving it. It's been eye-opening. The price point is so dramatically different than cars that give you the same types of features, space, ride. And then you've just got to decide for yourself. But if you don't have the Hyundai on your list of cars you're looking for, I do really think you're making a mistake, whether it's the Sonata, the Santa Fe, the Tucson, the Elantra, whatever it is you're looking at, I would strongly suggest running down there and going over to Murdoch. At 4646 South State Street. I've gotten to know Blake. I really enjoy my interactions with him. The Murdoch family prides themselves on trying to make sure that your experience matches that of what they would want your family to have if you came over for dinner. If you got to meet the family, and as I've been fortunate enough to do, that's what they want. And then the Hyundai car with the 100,000-mile Hyundai Assurance warranty, Murdoch has some signature things, free car washes for life, oil changes, extra hours, things of that nature that they continually will do for you to show you how much they appreciate you being involved with them. So check it out. Murdoch Hyundai, 4646 South State Street. And maybe you'll just say hi to, maybe you'll say hi to Mike Sorensen while he's down there. All right. Gordon Hayward season review. Should we just like stop and say awesome and move forward, which we probably could do. He was just great. And he just got better in so many areas. And he just the thing that's most impressive to me about Gordon, frankly, is he just became an incredible scorer. Just an incredible, incredible scorer. And that's not easy to do. And that's not what his natural level was. You know, he's a kid who I think never, like when he scored 30 in the NBA, it might have been the first time he ever scored 30. And when you just start to kind of look at who he became as a player, how he got better in the playoffs, it's just super. I don't know if there's a lot of value to me in breaking down all our usual numbers with him, but some of them are incredible. His field goal percentage went from last year from 43 to 47%. His three-point shooting percent went from 35 to 40%. His effective field goal percentage is up 4 percentage points. He took the same amount of free throws per game while playing 2 minutes less. His rebounds were a career high. His assists were 3.5. He added a steal. His turnovers went back under 2 for the first time in 3 seasons. He averaged 22 points a game, and then you dig into what he was able to do, you know, really in an awesome manner as a leader with the work ethic he put in. And what it showed, I think, his teammates along. And then I think his defense was just terrific this year. He, you know, he had 3 playoff games over 30 points. That's as many games as he had in the 15-16 season over 30 points. So this year he went over 30 times. His free throw shooting late in the playoffs was historically good. He was better as the season went on. After the All-Star break, on above-the-break threes, he hit 45%. We seem to have forgotten he opened the year with a broken finger, didn't shoot well. After December 1st, he hit 42% from three. As I mentioned, his career highs across the board. Dunked it about 70 times this year. His previous high was 52. His strength gave him a balance off the bounce. Three-point shooting was 44% post-All-Star break. He was equally as good on catch and shoot and off the bounce threes, which is amazing. His shooting at the rim went up to 69% from 62% last year. I mean, that is just, these are incredible jumps. You know, it was 3 years ago that he was the lead guy on the team, and his field goals weren't assisted, and he really fell apart. This year he actually got back up to having 43% of his field goals assisted, which is the most in 2 years, but it also just shows he was playing with better players. Just really a tremendous, tremendous season. Was great out of timeouts when plays were called for him, which is a huge step. 18% of our plays were out of timeouts, and he had an effective field goal percentage of 54%, which was one of the best in the league. Just an awesome, awesome season. Now, the impact yesterday of him not making the All-NBA team is that now the money game is almost nominally different between the Jazz and someone else if he wants to go to another team. So he's 5 years, $179 million for the Jazz. He's 4 years, $132 million for another team. It's a $45 million difference. It seems like a lot, except for the fact that it's another year. And so he probably doesn't sign a $45 million deal in between those two, but he probably could sign a $35 or $36 million deal. And so now you're dealing with, in a span of $170 million, you're dealing with 8 as being the difference. It's probably not enough to sway your decision one way or the other. Yesterday I was on with Jake and Tony. They wanted to keep telling me that this team, that the Clippers could not, excuse me, the Celtics could not do, could not trade players for Jimmy Butler and take the number one pick and get Gordon Hayward. And then afterwards, Jake looked at it and seemed to retract a little bit, and they can easily do it. So if they go into the offseason, they currently have $77 million on the books. So with the first round pick, so they have $23.4 million of under the cap. Gordon's first year is 30, so they would, you know, they have some cap holds that hold them back a little bit, but that hold, that's with the first round pick at $5.8 million. If they were to trade, Jimmy Butler's contract is at is it $16 million? So I think is the number for them. And if they were to trade Avery Bradley, Jay Crowder, Isaiah Thomas, Avery Bradley, Jay Crowder, and Marcus Smart, they actually would save some money by adding Jimmy Butler. The cap number, the number one pick does give them, you know, it's a $5.8 million cap hold. They have some other cap holds that they have to deal with. This does have them losing Amir Johnson. It does have them losing Kelly Olynyk, which I think they're willing to do. But they actually can do that quite easily, and they do have to clear maybe an inch or two more of space to get all with the number one pick to get all get Gordon Hayward his full max. But it actually should not be a problem for them to do that. And then the crazy one is if they do it right, they probably are able to stay under the luxury tax the year later with Isaiah Thomas. It's a little tight, but it's pretty maneuverable, and it's a sign of just how fortunate a situation they're in. All right, that is today's edition of Locked On Jazz. I will be adding on here the backside of the interview that I did with Spence and Bowler, who was in for Gordon the other day, because I thought it was really good. And you can have that for the weekend. And remember, Locked On NBA is very, very strong with the scout. This has been Locked On Jazz, brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai and Mayhem. Check it out over at 4646 South State Street. Have a great day.
Jazz insight and analysis straight from the source.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Yeah, let's go.
This is your Utah Jazz Insider Report on the Zone Sports Network. Now joining Spence and Gordon, here's radio play-by-play voice of the Utah Jazz, David Locke.
Shabam!
On 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.
So I got the TV voice of the Utah Jazz on my left, Craig Bowler Jack. And now joining us on the phone is the radio voice of the Utah Jazz, David Locke. So we got you covered start to finish. David, let's start right here. What, in your mind, do you think the Celtics getting the number one overall pick and advancing to the Eastern Conference means about Gordon Hayward's desire to play there, if anything at all?
I mean, Boston's in a really, to give them credit, they've been fortunate and give them credit. They've put themselves in one of the most remarkable situations I've ever seen of any team in the NBA, with the assets they acquired through Brooklyn, their current cap situation, acquiring Isaiah Thomas. So they are in a unique spot. I mean, frankly, they could trade for Jimmy Butler, draft number one, and sign Gordon Hayward, and be able to do it all without going over the luxury tax. So they're in a pretty special circumstance, but they were in that circumstance beforehand. So it still kind of comes down to all the same things. Gordon's got a great situation in Utah. He's the man. The franchise over the last 3 years has done everything they possibly could to make him happy. They have a head coach who's built a system for him and turned him into an all-star. They got a general manager who has shown an aptitude to make great moves, and he's going to have to decide what moves his meter. The same thing I've said the whole time, though, I will say again, and I don't mean to be the negative Nelly, but free agency in the NBA has become very, very difficult for the incumbent. It is a negative to be the incumbent. If you just kind of look, LaMarcus Aldridge, Chris Bosh, LeBron James, Dwayne Wade recently, Kevin Durant, the list goes on. That most free agents are leaving their team and going somewhere else.
Hey, Dave, wish you're in studio and hope you're having a good
summer. Happy birthday, by the way.
Thank you, pal. Appreciate that. Won't tell you just a number, right? That's what everybody keeps telling me to say, so I guess I'm saying it. Hey, if you had to break this down, though, because we talk about it a lot on the road, but I think we ought to discuss this a little bit, the Brad Stevens-Quinn Snyder relationships. And I'm curious from your standpoint, you know, we always talk about trying to go home in a way, and that is the ultimate goal for many, maybe not for some. But I'm wondering if that is that maybe the difference maker. But then I'm going to also counter that by saying the Quinn Snyder relationship with Gordon Hayward, I think, needs to be said, is better than maybe some people realize. I know you can get enamored with what happened at Butler and what Stevens has done at Boston, but maybe break that down a little bit for listeners and your feeling about the two coaches, their strengths or weaknesses in their relationship, and how that would maybe affect the decision for Gordon.
So I think the Brad Stevens angle on this is the lazy reporter's easy way out. What I really think is it's means that if Gordon considers leaving, he feels as though he understands where he's going. And so let me see if I can explain this. And I was going to say explain it well, but I'm not sure I can. So I really truly believe that Gordon's number one thing he wants to do is win. I know that for a fact.
I would agree.
So Boston is the only playoff team with cap room. That's the driving reason why Boston is most talked about with Gordon. They have a good team, they are competitive already, and they have cap room. There is not another playoff team that he could go to and get full salary at his stage in his career. He could go to San Antonio for much less. He could go some other places. But Boston's the only team in the NBA playoffs who has cap space this year. So that's the driving force here. The lazy answer is, oh, he wants to go see his coach.
Mm-hmm.
What that does is, if you and I were to switch jobs tomorrow, we would try and have to make a decision. We would try to find somebody in that organization we were switching to who knew something about the organization, could tell us what it's like, give us some inside information, so we knew what we were going to. What Brad Stevens does is eliminates any doubt in that circumstance. He knows what his coach is going to be like. He knows where he's going. And so the one drawback, which is the unknown of Boston, is eliminated by having Brad Stevens. But the primary driving force of why Boston is a legitimate possibility to get Gordon Hayward in free agency from the Jazz is because they're the only playoff team with cap space.
Can Quinn Snyder then, David, help facilitate the same discussion in Utah?
Yeah, I mean, I actually think Quinn Snyder over Brad Stevens is a plus for the Jazz at this point. I mean, not in a critical way to Brad Stevens, but that relationship that Quinn Snyder and Gordon Hayward has is fabulous and has from the very first time when they met in Chicago, and Gordon was in Chicago and Quinn took Gordon and Robin out for dinner and didn't talk one second of basketball. They then talked basketball for the first time ever in Santa Barbara at P3 and had a very, you know, frank conversation about the game, and Quinn began to earn Gordon's trust. And that's not an easy thing to do, because you know, the one, and I don't know how this plays into this, but one aspect of Gordon's personality is if you tell him that the Celtic uniform is green, he will disagree with you until you prove it to him. What kind of green do you mean? And how? What do you mean by green? And is your green the same as my green? And what is green green? And what kind of green? And that's just who he is. He's not one who takes things on face value. So it was real work for Quinn Snyder to earn that trust, and he did. And that relationship stems back to a dinner in Chicago and the first time ever meeting at P3 in Santa Barbara when, frankly, the very first thing Quinn ever brought up, Gordon started asking questions and peppering him to see whether he could answer the questions and stand up to what he wanted to, and Quinn did.
David, building off of that, if you could just take your best guess, knowing Gordon the way you did, or do, I should say, and that was a horrible misstep. I'm going to just pause, delete, rewind, start over.
Drop, make that a drop just in case.
Knowing Gordon the way you do currently, and hopefully we'll continue to know him the way you do, if there was a checklist of things in front of Gordon that you think he wants the most out of whatever destination it is, or if it's right here, what do you think that list looks like? What would it entail?
I think number one is comfort for Robin and the kids. I think that's one area he doesn't talk about it, but I think that truly when it gets down to it, Robin has changed who he is in a very positive way and given him a support network he didn't have before. And so I think Robin, Bernie, and Charlie are number one on the list of importance. Number two is a chance to win. Number three, I think, is a chance to further his greatness, if you may. If I may, I mean, that sounds obnoxious, but I think that's truly what all players want. And then number four, I think, is money. And, you know, then there's probably number five is probably exposure, and number six is status in the league. And so I think that would be the six prong. One is comfort of family. You know, I think he, before he'd leave anywhere, he'd have to make sure he really believed that Robin and the kids would be comfortable somewhere else and happy, and that Robin was on board. And then I think chance to win, and, you know, chance to continue his ascendance on the league. And then I think exposure and status in the league go after money.
You know what, Dave? I wrote those down. That's interesting because I checkmarked half of those Utah. I think comfort leads the way. Unless Boston, in my mind, is, you know, a megatropolis, and I'm not sure if that's the case. I guess you can live anywhere and be comfortable with enough money, right? Win, obviously, with Rudy and others, and obviously the Jazz would share what they have planned in the off season. I think that would go hand in hand with that. I'm not sure about continued all-star status because the West is so tough compared to the East. You'd agree, right? And I think exposure, I'm not sure where that lands or how important. What do you think? How important do you think that is for Hayward? I mean, is he a commercial guy besides, you know, Bailey moving in storage? Is this a situation where he needs national exposure to make him happy or not?
I think it's a respect issue of whether or not the league gives you your due depending on what city you're in. You know, does the league treat Blake Griffin differently than they treat LaMarcus Aldridge when he's in Portland and San Antonio? Does he get treated differently by the league if he's a Celtic compared to a Jazz, a Heat compared to the Jazz? I don't know the answer to that. That's kind of what I mean by that, that status issue.
I wonder if the status issue too, Dave, not to interrupt, I wonder if the TNT ABC schedule when it comes out, ESPN, if that will reflect if he stays. I mean, is that part of the status that we talk about, I wonder?
Yeah, I think that matters. I mean, yeah, I think absolutely. You know, I think he prefers to be on radio-only games, Craig.
I don't think he's joking.
That's right, because you got the exclusivity that goes with TNT and ABC.
You don't think it's the radio only that he's looking for?
It's radio only.
I thought it was the radio only. It had nothing to do with the national TV audience that bumps the local TV. I thought he just preferred radio
only.
He wants
only radio and doesn't care about ABC at all. TNT, forget
That's
that.
Right.
Yeah, ESPN.
That's right. Well, Boston's radio announcer is better than me, so that, you know, that's bad for the quest for radio only guys. Sean Grande is probably the best there is in the league.
Yeah, but you got 7 years up on him on Gordon Hayward. So,
yeah, when he calls and wants information, I'm not going to be able to take his call.
You have to block it.
I'll be bitter.
Well,
I don't know what's going to happen. I think, you know, when I put that list together, I think here's what I think gets really interesting. All right, let's go with worst case Jazz scenario. Worst case Jazz scenario is that Boston or Miami starts to build a super team. Okay? And does Gordon want to be the third or fourth wheel on the super team? Or does he want to be the number one spoke on the Jazz?
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. And I don't know the answer to that. The worst, you know, Boston's on the verge. Like, if Boston calls Chicago tomorrow and says, here's Jay Crowder, Avery Bradley, and Jalen Spence, doesn't Chicago have to say yes?
Yeah, they have to, and you don't think twice about it.
And even, frankly, Boston could throw in something other. If they didn't want to move Jalen Brown, they could move in next year's Brooklyn pick.
Then you jump
out of
for
sure. And then, frankly, they don't need Jalen Brown.
Yep.
I mean, and so, I mean, Boston's got a package. They can go call Chicago or Indiana and get Paul George. But now you are going to Gordon Hayward and you're saying, we're going to go win the NBA title with Isaiah Thomas, Jimmy Butler, Al Horford, and you. And it's a hell of a pitch. But he's getting 11 shots a night. And I'm curious on these super teams. Chris Bosh dealt with it, but he never liked it. And he likes it a lot right now, frankly. Ray Allen certainly didn't look in Boston and left and went to Miami. So I wonder on that one. You know, that's a – I got to tell you, if his thing is I want to win and they can put that on the table, that's a hell of a thing for him to have to walk away from.
You know what? You know, and it's – and Spence, sorry if I'm interrupting.
No, you're
but
fine. Go ahead.
My mind's spinning because what happens is in that scenario then blocks the other potential goal of his, David, and that is if 11 shots come his way – and you're not on, and all of a sudden he wants to be an all-star in the East, but it doesn't happen because of the super team that they've built that negates the one goal that he set for himself, right?
I mean, I could be totally wrong on this, but I kind of feel like if he goes to Boston, and as long as Isaiah Thomas is on the team, and particularly if they add someone else, he's not an all-star again.
Well, Clay was. I mean, Golden State sent four because they were just smashing everybody, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I guess if they smash everyone, they go get four All-Stars. But, like, Al Horford didn't make the All-Star team this year, did he?
No,
he didn't.
No, did not. No, I think that's got to be something that when you break it down, I love the list because it takes you from A to B to C to D and then on. But then again, one may negate the other, right? Because if you are on a Super League team, as I like to call them, then you're just all of a sudden just part of that list. And if Clay's not real happy and look, all of a sudden, left out of the Boston Celtic, you know, championship, you know, legacy because he didn't do it the right way and he left and decided to be more of a factor in Miami. I mean, that's interesting. It really is. And okay. What Gordon's going through.
Let's flip the conversation for a second. All of these things are the things you sit up at night and I'll admit I rolled over at 2:22 in the morning and saw the clock worrying about it the other day. Like I'm not lying to you that this isn't bothering me. As a Jazz fan, as an announcer, as someone's called every game Gordon's had in his career, as you have too, Craig, I mean, I really badly want him to stay. And I want us to be really good. And I know how hard everyone in this organization has worked for us to be really good. And I know some things that I don't mean to say this rudely. You probably know them too, Craig, which I can't share about how willing the Millers are to win. And what, you know, the mantra that Steve Starks and the Millers have given to Dennis Lindsay to win. And they are so willing to do it, and I hope they get a chance. So flip the discussion a little bit away from the panic level of everything Boston can get, because to Danny Ainge's credit, they're in maybe the most unique, self-created, unique situation in the NBA, other than what the Warriors had, where they can do all of these things. I mean, it's incredible that they could trade for Jimmy Butler, draft the number one pick, and sign a max free agent and not be over the luxury tax. It's incredible. But what can we do? And I would say the only thing here is that by July 1st or by July 2nd, the Jazz better have every question answered for Gordon.
Yep.
And that's really, really hard to do. But you can't be sitting across from Gordon saying, well, I think we're going to get to do this and we're hoping to get this and we're looking for the possibility of this, while Boston saying we have this, 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 and this. Or Miami. I think Miami, we've got to keep, you know, I haven't played around with it a little, but Miami moves Goran Dragic and they suddenly can sign the world. And even if they don't sign Goran Dragic, I think they can sign the world.
Yeah, they've got space for sure. David, thanks for the time, man. TV voice, radio voice, and then there's me. So it's been a lot of fun, man. I appreciate it. Thanks.
Okay, let's make sure we don't allow that to go by. You hosted 3 half posts on a tremendous amount of days, and I say it all the time, while working a full-time job. I did that job for a long time. That deserves huge accolades to all you guys who work on the surrounding aspects of the broadcast, because it's only being done after you've already worked your full-time gig, and I can't be more appreciative of all the work you guys put in on that.
Well, I appreciate that, David. Thanks a lot, man. And thanks for the time again today. We'll chat next week, all right?
Okay, see you. Bye.
See you.
David Locke, radio play-by-play voice of the Utah Jazz. Interesting list he came up with.
Yeah.
And a lot of those things I think are valid. And
comfort.
You know, you can kind of hear a little bit of trepidation in David's voice because of the situation Boston's put themselves in, and he's not wrong.
No.
It's a really unique spot the Celtics are in right now.
Chris Mannix, echoed those same sentiments an hour and a half ago, and it's something I think Jazz fans have to just be realistic about. David, I thought, put out 6 interesting topics And it's, you know, one can't cancel out the other. Can you have it all? No. But you do have to rank them in what's the most important thing. And obviously two young kids and a wife and starting the journey together, what direction? I mean, Salt Lake, you think it sounds like it's sometimes the negative of many players, but also they're single. And they may be not, I mean, they may come from different areas and a different background, right? So, again, for Hayward, married, two children, you think Utah would be a pretty good place to start. Mm-hmm. But we don't know what's working inside the family's mind. I mean, Indiana could be a possibility. Can you go home? Miami sounds sexy. Boston with the old coach. I mean, there's a lot of scenarios here that are going to continue to play out before July 1.
All right, and it's going to be intriguing to follow, there's no doubt. And we're looking for every possible angle, and we'll continue to do so to figure out whether or not Gordon will stay or will he go.